Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Oh yeah. It's Empowerment Saturday. It's another Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man Marvin Ron coming to see you live. We got another show for you. You don't want to miss. Again, it's the power and value of our black woman. This time it's our strength. That's what she is. Let's go, y'all. It's 2 o'clock. Let's do this. Better love. You know how we say. There is no better love. Oh, yeah. There is no better love than self-mankind. Hey, people. Hey, hey. Welcome to the show. It's another Saturday. It's Empowerment Saturday. There is no better love than for self and kind, and that's what we're trying to get across here at the NAAEA. And NAAEA stands for the National African American Empowerment Association. That's right. That association is put together and organized just for you. We're on the move. We're doing some work. Y'all need to catch up with us now. And so this week, we're going to continue to talk about the power and strength of our woman. But let's first talk about the NAAEA. So the NAAEA has been developed, organized, and comprised to do one thing. That's to ensure that the needs of the African-American community is met. How? Through the development of programs and services that educate, inspire, empower, motivate, and do all the things that our communities need to do. All you got to do is just be around us for a little while, and you'll see our greatness. But who's really pulling out now the best in us? We got so much going on. We've been integrated in this society. We lost our way in some regards, and we're good in other areas, right? So there's a balance to be made. But when we look at ourselves comprehensively and overall, why not consider these things? Why not consider a political agenda? What we talk about, what those politics look like in our neighborhoods and our communities and in our cities and our states. And in a comprehensive national political practice that we all work together for our common good like everybody else does, right? How do we have a comprehensive economic agenda? We talk about this every time, but do we go back and say, all right, well, how can we organize ourselves economically? Well, we're putting in the work and saying these are the things that we're going to produce in our homes, in our families, and in our communities, because once we start doing it, things will change. Once you start having an economic plan, understanding how to save your money, and like many people understand how it is to be debt-free when you don't owe the bank and you don't own the mortgage company or you don't own the auto lender, which is the bank still, money, right? And guess what? You keep some for yourself because we've been conditioned to be consumers. And we have to understand that conditioning because we're going to continue to run out and spend our money without having a savings sometimes, without having a backup plan, without having a rainy day plan. And we have to have a strong economic agenda that we're managing our money and that we're replenishing and we're putting back and that we're saving and that we're investing in ourselves. A is athletics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. What's your health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition plan? Your mental health plan, your physical health plan, your emotional health plan. You got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're going to find yourself struggling in some area. What's your fitness goal? Are you working out? Are you at least walking? Are you eating right? Are you taking care of yourself? And are you doing the things that you know you need to do to change and to grow? Those are the things that we have to continue to work on. C is culture, having a cultural identity. How about just being ourselves and loving that? How about just being able to be beautiful just the way we are and that we teach our children to stand up and be upright and steady and strong and powerful in their black and brown selves? There's nothing wrong with that. Some of us don't want to say, hey, let's have some self-pride and some self-dignity, but Marvin Rohn is saying it because he believes it. And lastly, a comprehensive education that allows us to do the work of educating ourselves, to reinforcing what it is that we're being taught across the board. You name it, we have to reinvest. We have to do the work of working on ourselves. And that is the name of this game. It's called empowerment. It's called African-American empowerment. And you are participating in the association show. I'm going to slide on over to my brother George. Brother George, welcome to the show. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, brother.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. All praise due to God, brother. I'm all
right.
I'm hanging in there. I'm right there.
All right. All right. Keep hanging, and I appreciate you joining us.
Okay.
What you got for us today? It's a Willie Lynch Kwanzaa segment. It's always good.
Yes, sir. So today's Kwanzaa principle is Imani, and which means faith. To believe with all our heart in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. And I think that Imani can be appropriate at all times. Anyway, you know, having faith in ourselves.
I
now,
like that, brother.
Moving to the Willie Lynch segment, I'm reading once again out of Marcus Garvey's book, Message to the People. And today I'm going to talk about the purpose of institutions. Organized society is always a mass of people, and as such, cannot do anything explicit or by detail by themselves. Hence, the organizing of institutions to do the particular work that cannot be done by the masses as a whole. There are different kinds of institutions in a society, but each institution has its particular function, whether it be the church, college or university, school, hospital, academy, chamber of commerce, fraternity, trade union, literary club, sports club, athletic club, gymnasium, YMCA or YWCA, etc. In our present civilization, no society would be considered functioning properly if such institutions did not exist. Therefore, it is necessary for the Negro, and this book was written a long time ago, to pay close attention to developing the appreciation for institutional life. And we need to really focus on building our institutions for ourselves. Now, because this month is Women's Month, and for us it's our African-American Women's Month, I'm going to talk about a sister named Patricia Bass. If restoring sight to the blind is a miracle, then Dr. Patricia Bass was a miracle worker. She did exactly that for several people who had been blind for decades. Patricia restored the sight by implanting an artificial cornea called a choroidoprothesis into the person's eye. The pioneering medical scientist and ophthalmologist also invented a device called the laser fracoprobe, which is used to treat cardiacs, an eye condition that causes blurry vision and can lead to blindness. Patricia's invention was more precious, less dangerous, and easier on patients than previous surgical treatments for the condition. She received a patent allowing her to make and sell the device in 1988. And I can remember when a lot of people were getting this operation done to their eyes that was restoring their sight during that time period, which made her the first African-American doctor awarded a medical patent. She also founded the nonprofit American Institution for the Prevention of Blindness in Washington, D.C. Patricia committed her career to preventing, treating, and curing blindness. Years of hard work beginning in her childhood led to her success. Now, the idea that a few of those words I may have mispronounced, I wasn't really concerned with that. I was more concerned with the fact that we had an eye doctor that actually solved the issues of many people that were wearing contacts and things of this nature that sometimes are uncomfortable, and she created something to give them back their sight after being blind for 10 years or so. So I just wanted to present that sister and honor her for today, and it's back to you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Always informative, right? The Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa moment is pretty good. George talked about Imani, which is faith. That's a profound belief and commitment to all that is of value to us as a family, community, people, and culture. When we start doing that, things change. We have to value each other. Thank you, Brother George. All right, let's hear from my brother Stan real quick.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman.
She is our value. She's our mother. She's our sister. She's our daughter. She's a producer. She's a provider. She's a protector. She's a leader. She's committed. She's compassionate. She's our queen. So the question is, when are we going to start protecting? When are we going to start respecting? And when are we going to start loving our women? This is to the brothers, but also our sisters. When are we going to start loving ourselves? And what we need to do, what are the things that we must change, right? And the direction that we must go in. How do we begin to protect our women? How do we begin to respect and love our women? I mean, not just like what we're doing now, right? Just barely touching the base. But how do we secure this thing? Well, we got a future that we're working together to lead our children and our communities forward in a very positive, positive way. That's the question for today. What are we doing? And how can we get started? Guess what I'm getting ready to do? Here we go. All right.
Bring it.
Every 06. You at the top of the deck. It's the time to say that Mark Marone is staying back. What you got for us today? Come on. 6306, you with me today?
You hear me?
All right. Hey, how are you?
Hey, sorry, I pushed the wrong button.
That's all right. Sometimes it's like that. Trust me, you don't know what's going on over here. What you got, sister?
Yeah, so I had a conversation with somebody earlier about why is it that we have such a hard time, even in our own community, with supporting our own black women. So when it comes to, I mean, we talk about it and you know, we talk about it in discussions, but when it comes to black women supporting other black women or even men supporting black women, we're still at the point where we're hesitant to do it. We'll support a man sometimes before we support another woman. So I don't know. You know, that goes back to even relationships that women have with other women and how cutthroat it can be sometimes and how difficult it can be. So I don't know why. And, you know, it might be because as black women, we've always been in competition with ourselves, you know, with each other. Because there have been so few opportunities for us. because exactly what Malcolm X said. We don't, you know, we're the least respected, we're the least protected. So when it comes to opportunities out there, we tend to be cutthroat because there are few and far between opportunities for us.
True. And that's what we have to change. That's the work we got to do. Nobody else could do that, right? And I said again, black women are the foundation for society. They're for particularly African Americans and people of color. They are the foundation. You got to keep them strong. Everything is going through our women, our children, our families, our homes, you name it, is going straight through our women. And so the more balance that we can bring to our women mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, culturally, socially, the more our communities grow, the better our children get, and the more that we can pair up together to create a better reality for us all. Anything else you got, sister?
Not yet. I'll let somebody else speak, and I may have to raise my hand again.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you.
I'll
come back around to you. Man, what an amazing thing, right? Malcolm said it best.
The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman.
We got to think about this.
The most neglected person in America is the black woman.
That's our woman we're talking about.
Today we hear the call for full equality for women and distinctly for women of color.
Here we go. Guess where I'm going.
Today we hear the call for full equality for
9282. I'm coming up to you. You ready for this? George said I need it. 9282.
What?
You ready?
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Hope all is
fine. Walaikum assalam, my brother. What's happening?
Nothing, brother. I just, you know, you answered your question earlier. You do it every week. You answer that question. How can we take care of our sisters, love our sisters, protect our sisters, you know, do the things as men we're supposed to do for our women? You answer it every week. It hasn't changed. Self-love. It starts with yourself. If you don't love yourself as a black man, you can't love anybody else. You know, that's the key to it all is self love. And I was thinking earlier today, you know, I said there should be no business owners in our communities, store owners, beauty salons, et cetera, that don't live in our communities. If you want to do business in our community, you need to be in our community and be a part of our community. You can't be taking our money, come make money off of us, and carry someplace else to where you live. They're just feeding off of us. No, we need to say, we love to have your business, but we love to have you to be a part of it. You know, we need to be together on this. Finally, my last thought today, and I got to run because we're getting ready to go on the road, but you see what happened in Georgia this week? About the law, the voting right law that they passed. You know, they passed a law to say you can't even get people waiting in line to vote a glass or bottle of water. You know, but my thing is this. Cannot the country say that's unconstitutional? Can't the country say we're not going to stand by and let one state prohibit anybody from voting and change the results of a state's election because the people in that state are not pleased with who won, so they're going to put something in place where they now can overturn that? Cannot the country say that's unconstitutional? You can't pass laws like that prohibit anybody from voting and people being elected honestly, fairly, and so forth. But my thing is, again, back to self-love. Stop. White folks going to be white folks. Okay? White folks going to be white folks. We just need to say, let's do us. Stop trying to, you know, they're showing us continually who they are. We won't accept the reality. We just won't accept the facts. of everything to go down. We keep going back and back and get beat over the head again with another thing. Just keep clubbing us to death because we won't wake up, love ourselves, do for self, respect self, uplift our people, uplift ourselves. And I got to say it, I know this is Women's History Month, Black, but it starts with us, brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We go, our people go as we go. And you've seen for the last 400 years, we haven't done nothing as men, and look at our people. Okay? That's what that self-love, you say it every week, but it has to start there. We've got to look at ourselves. Look in. Don't look for anybody else. Don't look for God anywhere else. Look in yourself. Find that first in you. That'll correct everything. You know, I told some people at a meeting the other day, we want to set a goal. Can we set a goal that in 5 years there be no more black-on-black crime? Yes, we can.
Yes, we
can. In 5 years, it can come. We just have to take the steps to make it happen. So in 5 years, we won't. It could happen even sooner. But it's on us. We have to set the goals of what's going to happen for us and take the initiative and start doing things like you saying, like you doing, so these things can come to fruition, brother.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
All right, brother. Well, you be safe. I enjoy you. I'm going to miss coming back around to you because you always got something
you
good.
Too, brother.
But just be safe, brother, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Peace, brother.
Peace.
Today we hear the call for full equality for women and distinctly for women of color from a multiplicity of perspectives. Intersectionality is a term we often hear, but what does it mean? Kimberly Crenshaw, who coined the term in 1989, explains it with a metaphor.
Consider an intersection made up of many roads. The roads are the structures of race, gender, gender identity, class, sexuality, disability. And the traffic running through those roads are the practices and policies that discriminate against people. Now, if an accident happens, it can be caused by cars traveling from any number of directions, and sometimes from all of them. So if a black woman is harmed because she is in an intersection, her injury could result from discrimination from any or all directions.
Intersectionality in all discussions of the rights of African-American women today is built on the work of previous generations who have always been a part of the fight for full equality. Sojourner Truth escaped slavery in 1827 and became one of the most powerful women's rights activists of her time. She emphasized her identity as both African-American and woman in her famous Ain't I a Woman speech at the Women's Convention in 1851. In 1893, Anna Julia Cooper addressed the World Congress of Representative Women saying, "The white woman could at least plead for her own emancipation. The black woman, doubly enslaved, could but suffer and struggle and be silent." They demanded recognition of both the femaleness and blackness of African-American women in the struggle for political and social advancement. In 1951, the Sojourners for Truth put a call out to Negro women to convene in Washington, D.C. for a Sojourn for Truth and Justice. 132 women from 14 states responded. During the Sojourners' last Eastern Seaboard Conference, they discussed the organizational tenets of fighting against triple oppression facing working-class black women, of racism, sexism, and classism. Their efforts were a precursor to the black freedom activism of the Black Power era and the black feminist movement. Named for a raid led by Harriet Tubman, which freed more than 750 slaves, the Combahee River Collective was founded in 1974 by a group of self-identified queer black feminists. Their Combahee River Collective statement was one of the earliest explorations of the intersection of multiple oppressions to include sexuality. They stated, "Our politics initially sprang from the shared belief that black women are inherently valuable." The words and actions of these leaders continue to contribute to today's discussion around intersectionality, feminism, and civil rights that demand equality and inclusion for all.
The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman.
All right. I'm going on over to 4692. 4692, if you're ready to talk, I'm willing and ready to listen. 4692, are you there?
I am, and good afternoon, my brothers and my sisters. Very interesting conversation. I really do appreciate everything that is being done to celebrate the African-American woman or the black woman in general, wherever we exist. Some of the things that were said really conjured up some thoughts and ideas in my mind, which made me realize how blessed, how fortunate I've been all of my life to feel loved, to feel valued, to feel respected. And I know that that may not be how all of us feel, but I just have to speak on that. I came up in a family with very strong African-American women who probably did more than they needed to do because we didn't have as strong a figure. But it reminded me of what God has made in the woman in general. He's given us strength, backbone, broad shoulders, wide hips, a mouth that can speak truth without fear. And that's how I was raised. My grandfather raised seven strong African-American women who were role models to me before I knew what a role model was. So today I just sit in a space of gratitude and wonder, what can I do that other little African-American girls growing up in this world, in this country, in this city could benefit in a like-minded way? And that's why I try to raise my three sons in the way that they would respect, love, honor, and revere the black women in their lives. So thank you for the opportunity to share.
I like that, sister. Thank you. I do want to add one thing, is that I want more sisters to get involved. I put it out there. I put it on all the social media outlets. I've sent texts, and I have this series is the least listened to series of them all since I've been doing that. The numbers are abysmal. It makes me sad to think that we're celebrating our sisters and we don't have any input or any feedback. And when I say any, it's very, very limited. And I'm saying we're raising up our sisters, and we're saying how much you mean to us, and I'm trying to get the sisters to call in and sound off and say, hey, this is what we need to do, because I'm seeing y'all the backbone of it. And I'm not knocking sisters, so don't get me wrong when I say this, but the participation, right? And I know people got busy schedules and all of that, but at the same time, when you go back to the archives and when you come on this show right here, and we've been celebrating women for a whole month, and the participation is very limited. So the sister said, do we have a problem with celebrating ourselves? Because you are inherently valuable to everything that we do. Do we have a problem with celebrating ourselves? Because you're extremely valuable to everything that we do. And because it continues to persist that we have been placed in positions, because women are, they are all in and through society, what is it that's holding us back now to making a mark and making a difference right where we are? I'm going over to, let's see, let me get my music straight first. I'm going over to 9116, 9116, a new number on the board, 9116, let me bring you in, right? I'm listening. Guess 9116 is listening. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So I'm going to just keep on talking. I need my sisters, right? We're on a quest to change our community and our society. We need men and women working together, right? I don't care if you're straight or gay or whatever you choose to be, but we need all hands on deck. How are we going to make the difference? What are we going to do? Again, what are those things that we need to do to make a difference? I'm going to shoot on over to 7974. If you ready, I'm coming.
Ain't no coming back in the morning like that, but the dream gone.
7974, you there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here. You know, I think this is, you know, a great show. I think to your point, and the point of others, when we think about supporting each other and supporting black women, a couple of things come to mind to me. I'm a huge fan of Kimberly Crenshaw, who you played a clip of in terms of intersectionality And I use her a lot in my work when we're talking about, you know, looking at social forces that impact us, and particularly social forces that impact Black women and women of color. But I think that someone said earlier, you know, talking about why Black women don't support each other, or where does that come from? And I think a lot of, you know, we talk about this, but I really have to just go back to white supremacy and how it has impacted us, and this model of scarcity, which is, I think, what Jackie was talking about. So we have this model of scarcity, right? And the scarcity model, I mean, it's a business, it's supply and demand. But when you're talking about particularly, you know, if you're even thinking about relationships and men, we've been built to, in many cases, and not all cases, but I think there's this social undertone, particularly for Black women, that you are trying to get to a goal, right? Some goal with a man or a partner. You're trying to get to some goal, and that goal is scarce. So because that goal is scarce, every other woman who looks like you or don't look like you, whatever, is your competition. It somehow, but because that model is set up, is there some kind of reward you're trying to reach? And when you're trying to reach sometimes a reward, that self-love is not going to innately be there, because you're trying to get yourself rewarded, which means you're trying to check some marks off. So you're going to do what is on the list to check those things off, even if they're unhealthy, right, even if they don't make sense, or even if it may never get you to the reward. And I use that in quotation marks. I mean, I think you know me well enough. I'm using that in quotation marks. There's no there's no reward there, right? But society, I think, has set us up that way to think that, and we operate not only on the scarcity model, but then you also have white supremacy telling us that you're not good enough. So, you know, Jeannie talked about the big hips and the voice to speak, right? But those things aren't, from a societal perspective, rewarded, right? We have young girls in school being told, be quiet, you're being too sassy, the big hips, ooh, you too big, you too this, you too that, you too much, right? The disrespect of the Black woman and talk is really a disideation of you are too much. So normalize yourself, tame yourself down, do these things to acclimate so that you are not othered. And then we also have this concept, right, that you know, even within, you know, our relationships and even within society, I think about even what the person was talking about earlier, Chambers, I think, was talking earlier about the Voting Rights Act and the suppression that's going on in Georgia. So, I mean, here's a perfect example of the Black woman being the most disrespected person, right? You have had on January 6th insurrectionists storm a Capitol building with guns and zip ties and other things, and many of them have not been arrested or faced any circumstances, maybe one or two. They're still even being talked about by the former clown in chief as being good people, and that, you know, they really didn't do anything wrong. You had however many white men in a building trying to recreate Jim Crow voting rights suppression laws behind closed door with a governor who typically signs all of his stuff in front of cameras, did not do this in particular in this instance, and you had a Black woman state senator who simply knocked on the door to see what they were doing and was arrested and handcuffed and put in jail. Now, if that doesn't paint a picture right there of why the Black woman is the most disrespected person, I don't know what does, right? This woman simply knocked on the door, right, to see, to make it public what they were doing, because they were doing this again behind closed doors. So what Chambers talked about, yeah, now you can't bring people water. They can remove the commissioners over the elections if they don't agree with what's happening in the elections, all of these things. So I mean, I think, you know, this is sort of a potpourri of stuff I'm talking about, but I think it all centers back around sort of this idea of white supremacy and whiteness. And then when you're thinking about black women, that idea of white supremacy has always benefited on the black woman being on the bottom of the totem pole. That's how the machine runs. So if you need to WD-40 the wheels of white supremacy, the black woman needs to be at the bottom in order for it to continue to work. And I think the way that we combat that and we continue to do that is we continue to instill in our little girls, we continue to instill in our sisters, our aunts, all of those people who have still are broken from a system, who are older. Just because you're older doesn't mean you're healed. We continue to insist, so it's not just the little girls who need it. We need to still be talking to our grandmas, our aunties, all of those people to be able to heal. There's no shame and embarrassment, right? And to be able to have those conversations and openly heal those wounds. The longer that they stay closed and behind closets, and the longer we continue to let things like colorism and talk about good hair and bad hair, as long as those things creep into our mentality, the more hurt and open wounds they're going to be, right? So talking about those things are important. And raising our young girls to understand, you know, again, the self-love and understand their worth. But I'm going to tell you, it's not just the young girls, right? It is 20s, it's 30s, it's 40s, it's 50s. As a system raised you to believe certain things, it doesn't just go away because you get older. It gets deeper because you get older. That's
wow.
It. Thank you.
Thank you. She said a mouthful. I want to speak to this first. The brother said, what's going on in Georgia? We need to understand one thing. It's all, the game is going to always change. The playing field is going to always change, right? The strategy, right? They're always going to make adjustments. You just better know that and prepare yourself to make your next pivot, right? We need to learn how to pivot around here in this country, because if you think things are going to change, all you got to do is look at all the iterations that we've had to go through since we've been enslaved and out of enslavement and back into it in other ways. We better get hip. Here's for our ladies. It's for y'all. I love y'all. Y'all all we got. I just want to play a little bit. It's for ladies. I need y'all to show
statue of a man.
We can't do nothing without y'all.
It's like a tree standing tall.
Just way back
woman, yeah.
Just for the sisters.
Can make a big man fall. He can be strong like Samson and big like Hercules. But two sweet lips can put a man down on his knees.
Can they do it?
That's the power of a woman. That's the power of a woman. Oh yes it is. Oh yeah.
That's all y'all get. That's all y'all get. I go there sometimes. Here we go. Guess where I'm going. Brother George, this is for you.
Bring it. What?
Brother George.
Yes, sir.
What you got?
Well, brother, I want to share something that happened to me in the past, and I think it's relative to what we're talking about today. A good friend of mine, King Salim Kalfani, we were having a conversation, and he said to me, he said, brother, you either part of the problem or you part of the solution. Now, in my head, at that particular time, in my head, I said, well, really, you know, basically, I ain't doing nothing. And simultaneously with him speaking, I said, right now, I ain't really doing nothing. And that was to myself in my head. And he finished his statement and said, and if you're doing nothing, you're part of the problem. So I thought about that, and from that day forward, it really put me on a more direct mission to always be doing something for the people, always be doing something that's positive. Well, what I want to say is that it's far too many of our people that are doing nothing. And that's probably the biggest problem that we have. It's far too many of our people that are doing nothing, and they think by doing nothing that they're helping. Or either I'm staying out the way. No. When you do nothing, then you take away the ability for God to bless us with what's inside of you to do for our people. Now, I think that the same way that I speak on catching our little boys at 8, 9 years old or 4 and 5 years old and bring them forward from there with the right teaching, we need the same thing for our little girls. I deal with females that's on my team every day. And when I listen to them talk about relationships, because sometimes I'll start a conversation about relationships, because many of them are not in a relationship. They have children, and they have unfond memories of the relationship that they had with the men they were with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to get them to think about, well, how can you, you know, like, get into another relationship that can become positive? And, you know, I struggle with them with the idea that there are some good brothers out there that you just have to, you know, like, you got to find them and you got to work with them and you got to give them a chance. You know, because our people are like a dysfunctional group. And, you know, I know that a lot of our people don't like to hear that, but we're very dysfunctional as a people. We're nothing like the people that came to these shores. We're nothing like that intelligent group of people. And just like I said in the Willie Lynch, out of one of the Willie Lynch books, they actually had brothers and sisters write about what they possessed and who they were before they came here, and they wrote paragraphs about their lives. So they didn't bring a bunch of people over here that was ignorant. So, you know, we have to look at catching our young people and putting programs into effect that will attract their parents to put them in our hands so that we can begin to teach them a different way. And a lot of the things that, it's like Brother Booker was talking about, ending black-on-black violence, you know, within 5 years, yeah, we can do it. But we got to put the programs and institutions into effect. That's why I brought up the institutions thing with Marcus Garvey, you know, because all of those types of things, that's what's needed, and that's what, you know, you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. That's where your part of the solution can come in. Some people just have a way with dealing with children or whatever. Well, we need you. We need you to come in and do that. Just because you might not know the history as well as I do, that don't mean nothing. You see, because if you can get them to behave, well, I can get them to learn about this. Hey, that's a combination that will lead to them becoming better people and a better representation of us as a group, you know. But I don't want to take up all the time. It's other people that want
to
speak.
That's all right. You got it, brother. You got it. Hey, let me ask you a question. Okay. Did you like my song?
I love it, bro. I always love when...
This for the ladies.
Take the time to appreciate our black women. I love it, brother. I always love it.
It's for the ladies. We love y'all. And if you don't do nothing else today, know that you are loved by the brothers. We just got to get ourselves together. And listen, we are in, we're steeped in a society that's teaching us to hate ourselves, to follow a philosophy that don't fit us, to try to, like Stan say, to get in and fit in. But when are we going to love ourselves, like Booker said, and love our woman at the same time? Thank you, Brother George. I'm going on over to 6306. Thank you, brother. 6306, I'm coming to you in a minute, but I want to play my song just a little bit longer. Oh, that's the power of a woman. Y'all up there, I was playing today. This one going out to my lady, my favorite cousin, my mama, my inspiration that calls every morning to pray with people. This for you. This for all of y'all that continue to work hard to make a difference in our community. Like George said, if you're not doing anything, that's not anything. But if you're just doing something, if you're making a call, if you're making a difference, that's what we need. All right. Thank you so much, ladies. I had to do that. All right. 6306. Guess what? Come back around to you. I love this. 6306. We ain't going nowhere.
Hey.
6306. Hey.
Hey. So Dr. Hey. Yolanda said a lot. She said a lot of stuff that I was thinking. She was getting very passionate about it. And Dr. Danny also said some stuff that resonated with me because growing up in a family that it was predominantly women, we were brought up to know that we were valuable. If anything, we're valuable to our families. And I do remember one aunt who always used to make this comment, don't think so high of yourself. Mm. And so when we were growing up, even though we were taught to be strong, we were also taught to kind of either dumb ourselves down or dumb down the value that we have for either a man or a job or whatever the case is. And so
we ain't doing that anymore.
Right, we're not doing that anymore. And I've noticed that with a lot of women. So even the senator that Yolanda was talking about that they arrested, they not only arrested her, but they charged her with two felonies. What she did wasn't even if she did anything, it wasn't even worth a felony. So they've already tried to set her up so that she won't even be able to, based on their laws that they're creating, she won't even be able to run again or vote or anything else because they've charged her with felonies. So even if those felonies stick, she's screwed. And that's what they do. That's what they do to us. And, you know, when we're talking about strong black women, we all, you know, we have the group Stacey Abrams in there, too. You know, she has done miraculous things. And Brother George made the comment about we need to do something, you know. We just need to continue to stand behind these sisters. So they even, Stacey Abrams, I saw like a poll on Facebook that if there's a petition signed for Georgia, would you sign it? You know, and I had to say yes, because I will sign it. You know, because once they start doing that to black women, they think it's okay. And I hate to call them supremacists because they're not supreme. I want to call them white extremists. And I refuse to call them supremacists. They're white extremists. As soon as we start allowing them to have that power over us again, you know, because we started getting a little bit of power. They saw that with Stacey. So they're like, no, we need to cut that. Excuse me. I'm going to use Mr. Booker's his comment.
You
we
go
need to
right
cut
ahead.
That nigga down. We need to cut that nigga down because they're getting too much power, you know. And so we really need to start supporting these strong black women who lead us I know I was kind of going all over the place, but everybody said something
that
resonated with me, you know, with their comments and how it all, you know, I think it ties together to me. But, we need to start, you know, to sum it up, we need to stop listening to these naysayers that tell us we need to stop being so high about ourselves and start appreciating what value we do bring to this, you know, to this society, what value we've always brought to this society. You know, another thing I talked about earlier to someone was how black women used to breastfeed the white babies because it was above white women to breastfeed their own babies. Now it's like they look down on white people look down on women that don't breastfeed their babies. But I'm like, your ancestors didn't do it. You know, it's just, we just really need to start realizing our value, really, and get our young women to start realizing this and stop, for lack of a better term, dumbing down our values.
I like that.
As a black woman.
I
know I'm all over the place, but that's just my
thought.
That's
all right. Hey, beautiful. I like that. Thank you, sister. The sister says, stop dumbing it down. And I'm going to say this, too. You can say what you want to say about Georgia, but they keep showing us who they are. And the more that they come with it, the more we got to come back and say, hey, look, if you arrest her, how are we going to use our own politics? How are we going to use our own attorneys? How are we going to use the legal system to counteract what they're doing? If we don't have a strategy in place, it's going to continue to happen. Those things are going to continue to happen until we get involved. Because guess what? We need to be running another one right up the flagpole and training another one to get ready to run up the flagpole. So we got 10 in line ready to go. Because guess what? When you get rid of one, we got 5 more ready. How about that? All right, I'm going over to 4692. Got to bring you in, right?
Today we hear the call for full equality for women and distinctly for women of color from a multiplicity of perspectives.
That's what we need to do.
Intersectionality.
This is just bad right here. This is bad on the show today. All right, 4692. What you got?
Well, you know, again, good exchange, a lot of valuable perspective. And as I was listening, the thought came to my mind to put a qualifier in there as it relates to Black women, supporting Black women. We need to do more of it. But I want to acknowledge that Black women do support Black women. I would not be who I am today. And if I look back over my shoulder, I had Black women in and outside of my family that supported me when I didn't have the confidence that I could do the things that I was trying to do. They were encouragers. They were financers. They were resources. They went before me and opened the door. They laid down in the road. We would not have Kamala D. Harris as a vice president today if we didn't have Black women who supported Black women. So I just think we need to do more of it. There was a poem that I read a number of years ago that spoke to this idea of sisters supporting sisters. And it was a very moving thing, but it really helped me to think about, we are so diverse, but there is a network that keeps us from falling too far. And we need to leverage that network to pick those of us who have fallen up. It starts out like a room full of sisters, like jewels in a crown, vanilla, cinnamon, and dark chocolate brown. Further on in it, after it identifies us, it just talks about all these sisters had struggles in their past, suffered from prejudice, and endured the wrath. But they brushed off their dresses and pushed open the door, and they came back stronger than ever before. And that's what I really wanted to share, is that there is a cadre of African-American women who have stood up, stood for, whether right or wrong, they've been there for one another. And I just want to celebrate them today as well.
I appreciate that, sister, and a beautiful poem. But I want to ask you one question before you go.
Uh-huh.
Did you like my song?
Loved it.
It's for y'all. Right? Y'all mean so much to us. We need to continue to uphold each other, continue to do that thing, because we can't do it without y'all.
It's like a tree
we can't.
Tall.
Y'all so much, the difference makers at every level of our community and society. And I'm telling you, keep doing what you're doing, sister. Keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate your time. All right, y'all. Man, who else gonna have the baddest woman on the planet? And even though we've gone through all of this dysfunction and change and racism and supremacy and slavery, our women still stand tall. We got a female astronaut. We got women who are the first computers. Like the sister said, we're nursing people's babies. These women have done it all. If you don't know that you're the baddest thing on this planet, I'm telling you right now, right? That dumbing it down, don't dumb it down. Let's push for greatness. Let's swing for the gate. And even if we miss and get to third or second or first, at least we got on base. And like Brother George said, we have to continue to pushing this thing forward, because if you don't do nothing, if you don't even get up to bat, you're not playing in the game. Let's get off the sidelines and let's get into this thing. It's up to us. It's up to us. We have the most beautiful group of women on the planet, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Our women love God. They've been teaching and training us about God, and guess who's in the church? Our women. Guess who's in the boardroom? Our women. Guess who's in there with the generals? Our women. Guess who is on the front line? Our women. Guess who are the nurses and the doctors? Our women. Guess who's out there doing the farming? Our women. Guess who's raising the children? Our women. So I say, as I end our tribute to women, it don't end, because y'all know how I do. I take it for the rest of the year. And so we're going to continue to make tributes to our sisters. And I want our sisters to get involved, right? Continue to share. Continue to let us know what's going on in the community. And let's continue to strive to raise our queens up back to our rightful status, so that we, once again, will take our place in the sun. And I'll leave on this note. I'm wrapping it up with this.
Let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
That's it for today. Thank you all for listening. If you don't do anything today, celebrate somebody. Some sister, some mother, some grandmother, some friend, some niece, somebody. Tell her she's special. Tell her she's great, and then let her know that you got her back. Men, love your women. Love your daughters. Love your mothers. And if you don't have a mother, find a mother figure. Find a grandmother. But let's continue to be supportive of our women and sisters. I appreciate y'all joining me today. As always, great comments. We're not going to stop pushing, right? We're doing the empowerment work 365 days of the year. That's all I got today. Love y'all so much. Peace and blessings.